CII Radio, the media voice with a global footprint. Tune in now.
Assalamu alaikum and a very, very warm welcome to you to Bumper to Bumper. I'm Jamil Ismail, and with me in studio, my newest partner in crime, my co-driver and my very good friend, Ziad, all smiles today. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Jamil, and to all the listeners. And yes, a very warm welcome because it is quite chilly here in Gauteng.
But now you're complaining because, I mean, it's warming up this week.
I'm not complaining. Oh. I'm giving everybody a warm welcome because...
Okay. Sorry, maybe we got off on the wrong foot. We should start again. How was your week?
It was good. It was a short week this week. So
yeah, this week gets me because I take 1 or 2 days just to get into the hang of things. And then Wednesday is like boom, and then you start all over again. So yeah,
very unproductive. We had a fake Friday. So there was a big rush on Tuesday, and then we had the break. And then it was like back to work again on Thursday, and again a rush now today.
Yeah, I know the Wednesday public holidays are a bit rough. You know, at least if it's like a Monday or Friday, you can get a long weekend. Or the best is actually if it's a Tuesday, because you take Monday off and then you have a small midweek break or midterm break. Sorry.
But I think a lot of people did take Monday and Tuesday off. Listeners, let us know.
If
you are fortunate enough to take Monday and Tuesday off and get a long weekend in, what did you do? Did you go to the Drakensberg or
Wombats? Maybe is Wombats still a thing?
I think at the moment they're busy with the hot springs, as I heard that they revamping, because generally now in winter it's. People don't go out.
But wait, isn't it the natural spring?
Yeah, but there's all those rides and whatever.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
The whole Forever Resort, I think they're
because
doing
growing
whatever.
Up, we used to go off. You know? Is like it? Wombats was a thing for us. We actually have family there.
Yeah.
And we used to spend holidays there. We used to go on holiday there. Okay. I haven't been to Wombats in years, in like maybe 10, 12 years.
I haven't been to Wombats at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, we must make it that we're going to have a brand.
Inshallah. Inshallah. There's a halal spur there.
Yes, there is.
So, yeah. Yes. Yeah. So we can at least chow nicely.
Yeah. No, we definitely can. And we should. We should look at it. Anything exciting happening this week for you?
Sunday was exciting.
Yeah.
We went to the AMG Street King, hashtag AMG Street King in Sandton.
Yes. It's only Mercedes-Benz who can do something like that.
Yes. Who can pull off something like that.
100%. To block off streets in Sandton just so that a couple of us can have some fun is mind-blowing, really.
Yeah, so it was Rivonia Road, Hibbs Road. So it was around the, if you know, 92 yes. Rivonia.
It's basically the Mercedes-Benz. It's their flagship dealership in Africa, I think. Sandton
yes,
dealership.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing. It's like a little mall. There's levels to it, literally. And I mean, they've got everything. It's really, really a stunning dealership. They're not paying for this, but if you are looking at a Mercedes-Benz, go check them out. It's just such an experience. That's the only way you can describe it, right?
Yes, they're part of the Motors Group, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
Yeah. So they've got quite a few dealerships. One of them is Eastgate as well.
Okay.
Yeah. It is quite a stunning dealership, but the actual day was just mind-blowing, like you said. We got to test out the different A classes. So there was the A200, 200D, A35, yes. And the A45S.
That's the hyper hatch, right?
Yeah, hyper hatch. It's 300 and how many kilos?
315, if I'm not mistaken. Or 310, one of the two. It's a lot.
335. I'm not sure, but it's...
Look, once it lands in your Durban guy's hands, that 310 is going to be a thing of the past. I mean...
3.9 seconds, 0 to 100.
Yes. No, and it feels quick. You know, a lot of cars today, I'm not going to lie to you, they started like feeling a little watered down. Even though, like, I mean, they are actually impressive in terms of performance. The A45 it's quick. We drove it for a short stint at Kyalami.
Yes.
This was much bigger. I mean, they allowed us to like really open this car up. What did you think of the track?
Vistac,
Yeah.
Santon. It was quick.
Yeah.
I thought it was very quick. I was disadvantaged, though, I must say.
Here's the excuse.
So I drove the A200D, which is like, what, 110 kilowatts.
Wait, what? Did you not have the A45?
No.
I was wondering why I had a faster time than you.
I did some, like 50 seconds or something. And no, I had, that was 110 kilowatts.
Yes, yes.
You're competing with 300. I mean.
But yeah. It was a tight technical track. So I think your 310, 15, whatever kilowatts it is, would probably help you out top end. I mean, okay, off the line is going to be quicker. It's going to. But okay, there's no excuse. You're right.
I'm a street racer. I was born in Durban, okay? Street racing. But this was legal, by the way. But no, I enjoyed it, even in the A200D.
Yeah.
It handles very well around that little track that we had. And I mean, 50 whatever seconds that it was in. We had Clint Weston, Natalie Weston, and Mika Salo.
Yes. These are all guys from AMG Driving Academy. Mika Salo is an
F1.
Yeah.
And they did like sub 40 seconds.
Yeah, and let me tell you, seconds in racing is days. Like if you're looking at like 5 to 10 seconds, it's a lot of time.
Well, it's Women's Month, and Natalie actually beat the two guys by like an eighth of a second.
But she posted the fastest time for the day, am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well done to women drivers.
Yes. Sure. So we want to hear more from the women in motoring.
Yes, definitely.
Especially during this month.
Definitely. Did any other car catch your eye at the dealership?
There was a SL43, but we saw that at the AMG Performance.
What do you think of that car?
It's different. We haven't driven it yet, so I can't say much.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for it to land it.
You didn't get a chance to take it on the track at K&M. Oh, yeah, you took a C43 that day. Right.
I took the C43.
Yeah. What did you think of that?
I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't even think you're driving on the track, firstly. And it sailed on the track, right. If I can put it that way.
So for me, I'm going to be very honest. They're amazing and they're doing what they need to do, like all the AMGs. But a little bit of that AMG essence is being lost. You know, that bubble, that, you know.
You're talking about the now that it's electrified.
Yeah, and hybridized, and, you know, all these things. I mean, SL43 has a 2-liter engine. I mean, where would we have fathomed that a vehicle of that size and the magnitude of having an SL badge is going to ever have a 2-liter? I mean, a 2-liter is a Golf. That's like a nice Golf.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, we grew up seeing the badges of the Vs,
yes,
the V8s, the V10s, the V12s,
and
those pipes. And
but I don't know if it's rumored, but apparently the next C63, because they've taken such a plummet in terms of sales, like worldwide, they're actually looking at bringing it back, either V6 or V8.
Is it?
I'm not sure if it's just rumored or it's something that's concrete. And this actually happened with Porsche as well. They brought out 2-liter and they were like, oh no, people don't want this like 3-liter back. And so let's see. I mean, it's obviously dictated by a lot of worldwide trends and obviously environmental issues.
But also Mercedes-Benz had committed to going full EV by what, 2030?
Yes.
So I don't know about that.
Yeah. But also the next BMW M3 is going to be probably what, hybrid or fully electric?
Well, they said as far as they can see, BMW, they are always going to bring in the ICE engines. So the internal combustion for them is still an option. They will bring in the EVs, but they want to give an option to their customers. So they don't want to force the EVs on anybody, especially in their performance cars.
Yes.
So the M cars, they're still going to.
I think it's going to get to a point where they're going to realize, listen, to compete with any of these EVs, we have to be an EV. Because acceleration-wise and stuff, is just, you know, EQ, what is it, EQS AMG?
No, EQE.
EQE 43 AMG.
Yeah.
That was blistering quick, right?
So that that didn't, like I said to Jamil, it didn't even build up speed. It already had the speed. The minute, and we did the launch control as well.
Yes.
So once you do the launch control, it's like, it's insane.
That's
it's like better than being in a roller coaster.
Okay. So basically, the take home from this is, if last week Sunday you were caught in Sandton traffic, we are very sorry. It was because of us. We're hard at work testing an A45. But yeah, tell me what else is coming up in today's show, Ziad?
So we have an interview
with
Michael Bashut.
Right.
He's quite well known in the industry, and he's also part of Change Cars. So it's a platform. We're going to hear all about that in the next few minutes.
Okay.
And then we'll talk a little bit about the used car sales.
Yes,
I think that's something that people, listeners, want to hear about, is how is the industry at the moment.
Yes.
There's been some big changes, and we'll see how it goes. I think there is quite a few things that have happened this week. One of the things is a manual transmission has come back.
Lovely, lovely. And it's on a sports car, proper sports car.
Yeah. So if we do manage to have some time, we'll talk about that as well. Anything from your side, Jamil, which you think?
I'm not sure if our Durban listeners have any knowledge of this, but Lexus they basically brought out a flagship dealership in Mshlanga. I know it takes like all these Japanese design cues, and apparently it's also one of these real Lexus experiences. And Lexus interiors in it are absolutely amazing. Especially on the high-end vehicles, they actually they add Decorex just to show like the interiors and like, you know, materials used. And I mean, Decorex is like very call it design orientated and stuff. So I mean, that says a lot.
But Lexus is a lot. They were with some art fair recently as well, so they're a lot in this design and art space at the moment.
Yes, yes. But I mean, they've got some very interesting looking vehicles out. What is their convertible? What's that coupe? So the
LS.
What do you think of it?
That was in Black Panther.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's quite nice. I haven't driven it yet, so I'm not sure.
Okay. But I mean, you've seen it.
Yeah.
And what do you think?
I think it looks quite nice. Lexus has a different design. It's, what's the word? I'm not sure what's the word, but it's very interesting the way they design their cars. And it's not like the run-of-the-mill design.
Right.
But also not too out there. Because, you know, some of these designers come up with something, and I feel like they just go a little bit overboard. Honda went through that phase, just by the way, where they... the design team wasn't aligned to what the market was looking for.
So, okay, what do you think of Honda's currently, the design? Forget the...
So, the latest Civic R, I don't know if you saw that, with the three pipes.
Yeah.
It's mad. The way that thing looks, they're coming back. I think they really changed the way that they... Maybe they fired the design team, I'm not sure. But I like the new look.
Right.
reminiscence of... But I still the 90s
Honda... 90s Honda was... You know what? It was like a very simplistic design.
Yeah.
But it was... I don't know how else to say this, but like modifiable, you know?
Yes.
And obviously, as we went into the 2000s and then these spaceship-looking things...
Yeah.
I think they just kind of lost it, and they lost the essence. Like, I'm talking like Honda Civics and, you know, like the back then Type Rs. You're talking about the Prelude.
Yes, yes.
Stunning, like, lines on a vehicle.
Yeah.
One of my favorite supercars of the 90s, and it is a supercar, is the NSX. Like, I just love that car. Like, I mean, absolutely amazing.
S2000, your thoughts?
Oh, definitely. that's one of those cars I want to own, eh?
Is it?
Yeah, I really want an
The whole car, just the engine.
Listen, I want the white one with red interior.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it. Drive
so you're putting it out there.
I'm putting it out there. If anyone has S2000 to, this is the difficult part, to sell
or to loan donate.
To donate to Mountain Tomorrow. Please let us know. So as we, as Ziad mentioned earlier, we've got, we're speaking to Michael Pashut tonight. I believe he is on the line. Michael, good evening.
Good evening. Assalamu alaikum and a good evening to the listeners.
How are you doing, Michael? It's so great to hear your voice.
Thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity. Great to hear yours. Been listening to the show for the last 15 minutes. Magnificent, and I'm super excited.
Awesome, awesome. Michael, let's start at the very, very beginning. Who is Michael Pashut?
Oh, thank you for the opportunity. So in a nutshell, I'm a businessman with 32 years experience in the motor trade. The best way to sum me up is I eat, sleep, and drink the customer experience. On a social level, absolutely love the bush. That's the reason we South Africans. And of course, I love the water.
Yes, yes, love.
Thank you.
Michael, what are you currently busy with? Because we're definitely going to be leaning on those 32 years of experience here at Bumper to Bumper.
I was so excited when you were talking about the past. You know, when you talk about the past, you're speaking a language that I understand, cars of the 80s, cars of the 90s, and I was just listening to what you were saying about the Porsche and the going to the four-cylinder and then going back to the flat six. Amazing, listening to that.
No, definitely. It's definitely some experience and wisdom we're going to be leaning on you on the show. I know
thank
that you.
You
have a wealth of knowledge when it comes to cars from the past. It's something that our listeners love to hear. We love it as well. And I always say that both myself and Ziad are at a nice age, you know, where we're kind of seeing both sides of things. Maybe not as well as you did, but definitely.
Thank you. I would love to answer any questions you've got. Love to share experiences.
Sure. Ziad?
Michael, sorry. So Jamil just shared that he's a car that he wants to own is a S2000. Is there anything special, because you were talking about cars of the past, is there anything special that you would like to, or that you have in your garage at the moment?
So special for me is the older stuff. I've got a beautiful 2007 Alpha Spider, what they call the Brera shape, the second generation Spider. Absolutely beautiful, 3.2 liter V6, then I've got a lovely Mercedes SL500 from 2003. Don't even know if anybody on the show will know the car, a Lancia Beta Monte Carlo from 1982. Does that name ring a bell?
You've got
it. It was before our time.
That's what I was going to say.
A very interesting thing that you mentioned, the Alpha. My very first model car that I received from my father as a gift was Alpha Spider 3.2 V6. That was it.
Unbelievable. When you talk about Alpha, there's very few people that will not say to you, wow, an Alpha, the car you buy with your heart, not your head. You know what the reality is? You buy it with both, because once you've owned an Alpha, you will always want to own an Alpha. Magnificent machine. It's manual. It's got that beautiful-looking engine. It's got that beautiful-sounding engine. You just literally can't fault it. If you worry about electrics, don't buy an Alpha. But if you don't worry about electrics, great car.
I guess even if it is that situation, you're not going to look better being broken down ever with no other car, like, really.
It's so true. But owning an Alpha, it's like having a relationship, because you actually get to know your car. Always make a joke. So, and this is actually not joking. When I want to put my left window down, I have to push the right window button up and then hold them down together. It's like a special trick, you know. Nobody can just put the window down without asking permission from the driver, but a magnificent car to drive. What is your personal favorite when you talk about the older stuff? BMWs?
For me, definitely. I mean, BMW has always been, you know, especially now. We were actually talking about it before the show. I'm not sure if you saw, Ferro Otto has a 325 IS for sale, and it's 1.5 million rand. Always a BM fan, always a Porsche fan for me, Ziad. Ziad's from Durban, so he's gonna have like a Polo GTI or something.
Mercedes has always been one of my favorites. I've recently become quite a BMW fan, though. I never was, but the 325 IS has always been something that I would like to own.
You talk about a 325 IS. It is something that, unless you've owned it or driven one, you can't explain it. Remember, it's very old technology. So I had the privilege 2 weeks ago of being at Desi Raceway in Port Shepstone. I don't know if any of the listeners have heard of Desi Raceway. It's a beautiful privately owned raceway in Port Shepstone. And they had what they called a Superboss Day. So it was all the Opel Superbosses from the 90s that came there. Mm-hmm. And there was one BMW 325 IS. And there's actually a scene of it on our TV show, All Things Motoring, of me racing a Superboss and call a spade, I flattened them. Nothing could touch that 155 kilowatt IS rear-wheel drive. Unbelievable. You know, amazing.
You're going to upset the three Opel fans we have listening to this show, eh?
We don't want to upset anybody. We just always tell the truth. I won't tell the Opel fans what happened in the second and third race. What happens in the Desi Raceway stays a Desi Raceway. But you spoke about that one at Faro Auto for $1.5 million. What is crazy is when they achieve $1.5 million for it, automatically every other 325 IS is all of a sudden worth $1.5 million. That's just the way the game is played.
Yes, 100%. And what I noticed particularly about the E30 BMWs, at one stage, you know, a 333 was, you know, very, very sought after, and that was what called a prize. Then it became a 325 IS, then a 325. Honestly, now, if you have anything in a E30 format, you're getting a ridiculous price for it. I mean, provided it's in a good nick.
100%. But you talk about providers that's in good nick. That is the challenge, Shamil. Most of them are not in good nick. Sadly, they've fallen into the wrong hands. Street racing, car culture, spinning, etc. And most of them don't even have seats. But what is interesting for the listeners, you spoke about the 333. Do you know what was unique about that car when it came out in South Africa in 1986?
Tell us.
So the engine size, it was a 733i BMW engine that they shoehorned into the 3 Series. So you can imagine a BMW 7 Series at the time was slightly wider, slightly longer, it had the space. In the 333, you had a choice of either air conditioning or power steering, but you couldn't have both at the same time.
Amazing. Michael, this is what we have you on the show for. We would never know that, honestly. And it's such an interesting fact. I know there's people listening, and this is amazing.
I'm sure some of your listeners will have a 333, and they'll say, it's incredible. So I've got the one, I personally don't have it, but they'll say, I've got the one that's only got power steering. Imagine having a beautiful luxury car and having no aircon, or having a beautiful luxury car and having no power steering. But if you've driven a 333, you will forgive whatever you don't have. It is the most magnificent experience you could ever wish for. Incredible.
No, definitely. In fact, you mentioned listeners in having a 333. I know that we have a few avid listeners with some amazing car collections. Maybe we need to actually get, you know, we get All Things Motoring to do some broadcasts from them and, you know, showcase some of these collections.
I would love that. That is what we take great pride in. So what is crazy, often they talk about barn finds, meaning you go find on a farm an old 1950s or 1960s car. But the reality is you've got beautiful Porsche 928, BMW 3 Series, Mercedes E, the 190, 2.3, 16 valves that are lying around in people's garages. I mean, when I say lying around, in immaculate condition, but people don't even know they exist. If any of your listeners have something like that and they want us to do a show on it for All Things Motoring, I would love it. I wouldn't be doing them a favor. That'd be doing me a favor, Jamil.
100%. You know, you mentioned the 190E. I actually owned the 190E, but it was a 2.3, but the Sportline. So, you know, it had the Recaro interior. It did everything. And that Sportline edition, my dad had the W124, which was exact replica of this one. The only difference is he had a sunroof and everything.
Correct. If you want to see the most incredible car magazine, go to the January 1986 car magazine. They test the F190E, and they test the Porsche 928 S4, and they test the 333i BMW. Because always in January, in the old days, they used to have their performance edition, just the most incredible edition ever. But I promise you, remember at the top of the show, I said to you, I get nostalgic when we talk about this old stuff. What do you think, top of your head, was a kilowatt of a 333i in 1986?
Ooh, I'm taking a wild guess, absolute wild. I'd say around the 120, 30 mark.
Yeah, very, very good. 145. Now, in 1986, 145 kilowatts was absolutely stonking. Today, a 2-liter Golf GTI, 180, the older stuff in the 160s, you know, but 145 kilowatts in 1986, nor 200, what would you imagine the time was?
Sure, maybe like 8, 9, 8, maybe?
Yeah, you're very, very good. 7.23, but with one caveat. You only a proper test pilot would have got nor 200 in 7.23 on that car. Normal people would have been doing it in 8.5, 9 seconds because it was so tricky with the clutch, etc. Modern cars, automatic, floorless, whether you're an old man, a young man, woman or man, experienced or not, you'll get the same time, which is just intriguing about the old stuff.
100%. I think new cars made some really good drivers. But
for sure.
Mike, before we let you go for tonight, I know that we're going to be hearing a lot more from you. But talk to us about Change Cars. Well, what is Change Cars?
So Change Cars is our online platform, which we are super proud of. There are many online platforms that your listeners could go to, well-known platforms delivering fantastic results. What sets Change Cars apart is the absolute quality of the dealerships on our site. Changecars.co.za, you will not find one dealership that is not five-star rated. And that's not us saying they're five-star rated. It's the best of the best in the industry on our site. The chance of being scammed, proud to say, is zero. There's just over 26,000 cars. If you're looking for it, we'll believe you'll find it on the site.
Awesome. You know, it's such a struggle nowadays because I think that's the biggest challenge when you are shopping for a car. I mean, you want the best deal, so you don't want to just go to, you know, the dealership, walk into a dealership and we've got like, you know, a whole lot of stories. But you obviously want to utilize the internet and at your own, call it convenience. You want to compare things, you want to work out things. And I think that's a very, very big step in car shopping.
100%. So if you spoke to your listeners, the key always is the best cars find the best dealerships. The best homes find the best estate agents. If you've got a quality car that you're looking for online, the chances of that car being at a Joburg Central dealer, call a spade a spade, is not going to happen. It's going to be at your top dealerships. And that, we're proud to say, is what Change Cars is about. And I really appreciate the opportunity to share that with the listeners.
Awesome, Mike. This is really great stuff. And thank you so much for joining us on tonight's show. I know this is not going to be the last. It's not going to be nowhere near the last. You're going to be a regular. We're going to chat about all those great old cars and you're going to share your wealth of knowledge with us.
Thank you, Jamil. The pleasure has been mine. To you, the audience, and your colleagues, thank you for the opportunity, and I value the opportunity to come back again.
Thank you so much, Mike. You take care and have a great weekend, eh?
I appreciate that, and a good evening to everyone. Take care.
Good evening. So, yeah, that was Michael Paschut. Like I told you, he has a wealth of knowledge.
Yes.
Did you see him? Like, he knows his stuff. Like, that's unscripted, eh?
Yeah, well, I just was listening. I didn't even want to ask any questions because he just, like, I was astounded at, you know, like all
No, his knowledge is intimidating, really. Like, I mean, it's unscripted. We're literally just talking, and it's just like that. I mean, he'll tell you which magazine it was, how many kilowatts. Yeah. And, like, just these little bits of information are so valuable because you leave tonight saying, you know what, do you know something really special about the 333? I mean, it's amazing.
So and those things you can't Google because you don't, you know, sometimes you don't know what you're looking for.
Exactly.
And having that knowledge at your fingertips, which Michael has, and he just shared it with us, is amazing.
Awesome. Ziad, on that note, let us take some time to just take in whatever information we got. Let's break for an ad. When we come back, we've still got a lot to go through. So, yeah, sit tight and we'll be back soon.
CII. See the whole picture.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. We just had Michael Bashut, and he was taking us, driving us down memory lane, and also teaching us quite a lot.
So just to let you know, Michael is actually going to be joining us as, like a regular feature. Every now and then, two segments, very important segments. The one is Retro Rides, where he's going to be talking to us about, like heroes of the past. And number two, like I said, Michael's been in the industry for 32 years. If you've got any, questions, I want to buy a car, I'm looking at this, I'm looking at that, please send it to us. Have Michael dissect your problems and give you some good advice.
And he's also got change cars, so that's a nice platform. He said there's over 26,000 cars on there. I went on the website, and there is 26,000 cars. I didn't go through every single one, but there is quite a lot of cars to choose from. So quite nicely designed as well. So go have a look at that, changecars.co.za, if you're in the market for a car.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's great that you can kind of shop with confidence. A car is not a small purchase, Yes. It's not something that you can say, you know what, this hair dryer was junk. I'm just going to roll up this cord and tuck it behind the back of the car. But I mean, a car is a big deal.
Yes.
You're spending a lot of money and you're reliant on it. I mean, you need your safety. It's really an amazing platform. Yeah, check it out.
Yeah, and on that note, let's talk about the used car sales market. In July, we actually saw a growth 8% month to month. But good news for consumers was the average price of the car dropped. So you're getting more value for your money.
That's amazing news because everything just seems to be going up. I mean, fuel prices are going up.
Yeah, well, it just went up.
So you're saying that the average price of cars...
Used cars.
Yes. Have dropped.
So in June, the average price was about 46,474.
Yeah.
And in July was 403,003. So about 3,000 rand difference, you saving, basically.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. I mean, that's good news if you're in the market for a car or if you just like cars and this might be a reason to shop a second or a third.
Yeah, and then the most sold cars by manufacturer,
yes.
Take a guess.
I don't need to. This is Toyota. Toyota are owning it right now.
You think so?
Definitely.
Okay, Toyota. Well, you're right.
Yeah, of course. Toyota, but you know what? It's something that you can see visually on the roads. Like, you can just see Toyota's are...
But you know why?
Yeah.
Toyota's marketing is very good.
Right.
Advertising and everything. If you're driving down the highway, you see Toyota. I mean, even if you're not driving past Toyota, you see it on a billboard or whatever it is, besides the car in front of you being a Toyota.
Yeah, they got how many thousand billboards out.
Yeah. That's where it's at. So Toyota, we've got in first place, in pole position.
Right.
Then we've got VW,
okay.
Ford,
right.
BMW.
What?
Yeah. Mercedes.
Do we have so much money?
Hyundai. Yeah. And these are used cars.
Yeah.
Nissan.
Mm-hmm.
Suzuki.
Okay.
And then we have a surprise.
Yeah.
Renault has moved into the top 10. They actually moved up three places this month.
Okay.
And they knocked Kia into 10th place.
What car do you think is doing it for them? Good.
Renault.
Yeah. What car do you think is really?
I've seen a lot of Kigas on the road.
Yeah.
I think price wise, that is. Oh, but
so
we,
why
but
do you call it Kiga? Yeah. I'm sure it's Kiga.
Is it Kiga or Kiga? I'm not sure.
Continue saying Kiga.
Okay. So you say Kiga, I say Kiga. Potato, potato.
Okay. Cool. Yeah.
But I've seen those. But I think that's more on the. On the new car side.
Yeah.
On the used car side, I would say a Duster.
The Duster is amazing value for money, am I right?
Yes.
Awesome space, good drive, extremely economical if you're doing the diesel.
That is an understatement, extremely economical.
Yeah.
Because you can drive with that car, like I had it on test, right?
Yeah.
And I drove about, I think, 400 kilometers.
Okay.
And I still had almost a full tank. The needle didn't even move.
Yes. Yeah. And how is the drive in it? Like, how's the engine? How's the power?
So it's a 1.5 DCI.
Okay.
So it's dual clutch. Yeah.
Okay.
And, it drives like... You just want to carry on driving, basically.
It's a smooth drive, no?
Yeah, and it's a so that one that we had was a 4x2. You get a 4x4 as well.
Yes. Have you driven a 4x4?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I know that I have contacted Renault for a 4x4. They said they don't have one in their fleet, but I'm dying to see what this thing can do. Like, is it really like capable? I mean, obviously within limits. I'm not going to put it in a test track is what you put a Defender or something. But just to see, like, you know, do you really need a Land Cruiser? Do you really need a Discovery? Or
I think, judging by the 4x2, I think the 4x4 will be very capable.
Yeah.
Also, the ground clearance is there.
Mm.
So you already, you know, once you have that ground clearance and you know you're good to go. Because, that's very important.
Do you know what I can say about the Duster? It's one of those cars that, while still maintaining the same body style, they managed to really pull it out of a not-so-good-looking car. Like, I mean, it still maintains the same shape and overall body lines. And I just feel like it's a good-looking car now. Like, I mean,
well, they haven't, like you said, haven't deviated from the original shape when they introduced it to us, I think, what was it, like about 10 years ago?
Yeah.
And they've changed, obviously, like the headlights and the rear lights and, you know, like small things noticeable to us, but not to, you know, common, you know, like if you just see it on the road, you're not going to say, hey, that must be a new Duster.
Your mother knows that. Like, yeah.
But I think it does give it somewhat of a fresher look. But I was fine with actually the original shape. I was actually looking at purchasing that when I was looking at changing my car.
Mm-hmm.
I think at the time, the only thing that I had not an issue with, but I was looking for a little bit of a bigger luggage space, and that didn't have it.
Okay.
But everything else, I think it was, on point.
When you get a chance, just Google it or YouTube. Do some research. Check what the guys overseas do with the Dusters. They like raise them even higher. They put like these all-terrain tires and they turn them into like these overlanding vehicles. It's quite cool.
Okay, you should.
Yeah.
So the listener should actually do that as well.
Yeah.
Well, so back to the used car sales. So what do you think was the top car or top vehicle in the used car sales for last month been sold?
Top car. Hilux?
No.
No, Vivo.
The Ford Ranger.
Really?
So the Hilux came in second.
Yeah.
The Vivo came in fourth. So it was Ranger,
yeah.
Hilux,
yeah.
Then your Polo hatch.
Yeah.
The Vivo. The Fortuna,
mm-hmm.
The C-Class,
yeah.
The 3 Series.
So they don't give you like which C-Class or like, you know, which year or which body style. Is it just like C-Class? Because, look, on that note, it's a little bit hazy because, I mean, a C220 like a W, whatever, 1990 is also classified as a C-Class. So is it just all of those that are bundled or is it a specific model?
So when we're talking about like your top 10,
yeah.
It's obviously bundled.
Okay.
But in terms of average, they said in terms – so this is from Auto Trader.
Okay.
Their average registration of the cars was 2018.
Okay.
Okay. And you're looking at a mileage of about 73,000.
Right.
Kilometers. So I'm assuming, I might be wrong, but you're looking more at the C200, maybe 220 or something. I don't think so much your C43s and C63s. But yeah, so then we have the C-Class, the 3 Series, EcoSport, NP200, and the D-Max, Isuzu D-Max.
Yeah, yeah. Also, it's a nice vehicle.
D-Max. Yeah. And Suzuki, surprisingly, had the highest growth this month. Well, last month. 24.3%.
That's massive in class sales numbers.
Yeah. So Suzuki's going to knock the ball out of the park next month, I think.
Yeah, and they've got some new models lined up as well, isn't it?
Yeah, which we'll be talking about in the next few weeks.
That's your cue to be like, listen, not yet.
But I think let's go to a break, and then when we come back, we'll chat a bit more.
I feel like we're going to be disciplined.
CII Radio, the media voice with a global footprint. Tune in now.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Bumper to Bumper. We're in the final lap for this evening's show. Talking about final laps, Jamil, have you ever used a simulator?
As in a racing simulator?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually have. But for the first time, it happened like not too long ago, like maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago.
And what do you think about it?
Amazing.
Is it?
It's okay, the one I used was so, so realistic. It was an F1 simulator. It was very tricky. It's not like a PlayStation game where you just grab the controller and hit the X or trigger and you're gonna. It's like the car needs to be treated like an actual car.
So take me through your experience. I just want to know before I share my experience. Okay. So tell me about the simulator for those that don't know how it works.
So basically, it's like a racing car seat, right? It's attached to this massive screen which like kind of wraps around you. You've got a steering wheel in front of you. It's very like it has like almost like this haptic feedback. So if you bump something, if you're going to gravel, it's like shock. It vibrates the steering wheel, etc. And I got a chance to do it at Kyalami, and I thought, you know what? It's only because I'd never had the opportunity to like actually get into a racing car that I'm not like number one right now. But it's a massive learning curve, like it's major.
So did you have just the brake and accelerator or the full like gears and everything?
No, it was just brake. Oh no, it had gears, but the gears were like basically like Tiptronic.
Right. Like a paddle shift.
Yeah. So you change on the steering wheel, you'd have to change, but brake, accelerator.
Because the simulator that I went on, just had a brake and accelerator. There wasn't any changing of the gears.
Okay.
And I found it very difficult. Now, I haven't played an actual video game for years.
Okay.
Right? So it was very new to me.
Okay.
And I would just like, you know, like how you would, like you say it's like a real car. You treated it like a real car.
Yeah.
But I was driving like I would a normal car. And there was like, so much oversteer, I would find myself knocking into everything.
Okay, so wait. Let me ask, you did an F1 one, or was it an F1? Was the car you were driving in the simulator an F1?
Yeah, it was, because we were Alonso and Verstappen. And
So on that note, right, when I mean it drives like a normal car, it drives like a normal racing car.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know what these cars are capable of, 0 to 100 times and stuff. So, it's not going to be like, you know, you pull out of the driveway. And that was where I messed up. So I took over from someone who called it quits mid-lap. So I said, listen, is it fine if I finish their lap and then continue? I was dead still. And like you're saying, I jumped in thinking PlayStation mind, full send, literally into the wall. Like just, you can't control it.
Yeah.
Right? But it was a really nice experience. I won't lie to you. As time went and as the laps were going, I was obviously like shaving time off.
So I'm glad I'm not the only one. I thought there was something wrong with me because I was disqualified so many times because I was either knocking things or going off the track all the time.
It's not easy. I mean, obviously it depends which one you're doing. I assume you're talking about the one at Mercedes-Benz.
No. So this was at a TCL event. I don't know if you know the brand TCL.
Uh-huh.
So they sell TVs. They've been in the country for about 2 years now.
Okay.
And they had TGN simulator, racing simulator. So they set up the whole thing, and they obviously use TCL TVs.
Yeah. How is the graphics though?
Very good. Yeah. These guys have like 98. They're the top second brand for, or no, the number one global brand for 98 inch. So they use mini LED. So not the quantum dot, not the QLED, but mini LED, which has even smaller LEDs. Yeah, it's something else. So if you're into gaming and racing, check out TCL. Yeah.
But I know guys go like absolutely crazy with simulators. I'll find this picture. I actually saw it on social media where this guy took like a model of an F1 car and turned it into a simulator. So you actually jump into the actual racing car.
I've seen something like that. There was actually a guy that had a Volvo and had a simulator in this Volvo. Yeah, yeah, you must actually look. I must check it out on, I think it was Instagram or TikTok or something.
Yeah.
And he actually built, looks like an actual Volvo in his room or wherever it is. But you get some crazy things. I've seen someone make a whole office out of a Range Rover. Okay. I don't know if you've seen that.
I've seen the one where they take an F1 car and mount it to the ceiling above the dining room table.
Yeah.
Imagine how easy lunch would be. Huh?
Yeah. Talking about the supercars, did you see the Bugatti Chiron? They call it the golden era. It was one of one. It was launched last night. I don't know if you saw the pictures.
I saw a headline, but I don't know much about it. I didn't like go into it.
So this car is basically one of one. We don't know who the owner is, and we don't know how much the car actually costs, but they say it's a few million dollars.
Yeah.
It was
isn't all Bugatti's few million dollars.
No, but this thing took them 2 years to make.
Okay.
There's like about 19 sketches on this car of different Bugattis.
So wait, you're saying it's a couple of million dollars and someone drew on the car?
No, they didn't like draw.
Yeah.
It's obviously like engraved. I don't know.
You're not selling this to me. I'm upset. If someone drew on my car, I'm gonna be sell it to me.
No, but the okay. So basically, let's take a look at the car.
Okay.
I'm gonna show you this picture of the car, and you tell me what you think of it.
Okay, it's stunning. Let me describe what I'm looking at.
Okay.
It's like almost like a matte metallic paint almost, but it's like got a gradient to it, like a gold bronze into black. And I see what you mean by someone drew on the car. There's some very fancy, what's like sketches, like car plans or drawings.
So there's they say there's the passenger side of the car boasts 26 unique drawings depicting icons like the Type 41 Royale, the Type 57 SC Atlantic, while the driver's side showcases 19 sketches documenting Bugatti's history since 1987.
Wow.
So it's not only, you know, you say someone's drawing on my car, it's the whole history of Bugatti. So it's basically going to a museum. So including modern models like the EB110, the Veyron, the Chiron, which it is, as well as the iconic W16 engine, which this particular car has. So it has the W16 engine, which you know is the 8-liter quad turbocharged.
It makes like over 1,600 horsepower.
1,600 horsepower, yeah. See, you know your cars. So you know which one is. So that was launched last night at the Monterey Car Week.
Okay. So I'm assuming because there's only one, we're not going to get on to test, eh?
No. So they showed it to all the journalists, which we weren't invited to. So apparently we're not journalists. But it was unveiled last night, and then it will be there for the week, because obviously it's the car week, the Monterey Car Week, and then it will go to the owner. Yeah. And
so, but we don't know who's the owner or anything. It's just
nobody knows.
So was this like commissioned by the owner of the vehicle?
It was commissioned by the owner.
Okay. And Bugatti did all the – okay, interesting. I mean, amazing. I guess you get to that level where even just having a plain Bugatti is not good enough, like, you know.
Well, I mean, there's celebrities, if you want to call them, that buy these cars, especially like Bugattis and, you know, your hypercars, supercars, and they actually modify them. And I know that, I think it was Ferrari and Lamborghini have actually blacklisted some of these people.
What do they call it? Is it a cease and desist? What? There's like a specific law suit that you get. I know Ferrari is like massive with this.
Yeah.
If you basically do things to a Ferrari thinking, hey, this is so awesome, I'm going to put it out there, they literally send you a thing to say, like, either return the car to its...
Oh, cease and desist. Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
They don't, I'm not sure if they do that, if they take the car back, but I do know that they blacklist them from ever purchasing a Ferrari ever again.
Okay.
So no matter how much money you have, if Ferrari don't like what you did to their car, if you like want to, you know, graffiti on it or draw on it, like these 19 sketches are not going to fly with Ferrari. They're going to just basically tell you, well, go to someone else. We're not interested. Yeah,
but so week ahead, do you have anything planned?
Week ahead, we do have a few launches coming up.
We can talk about it next week.
I think we should talk about it next week.
It's gonna be fresh. I don't think our bags will even be unpacked.
Mine are not even packed yet,
but
yeah, but it goes so quickly. Definitely.
Yeah, awesome stuff. We had a great show. We're going to be back with competitions very soon. We're just kind of sorting out all the logistics behind phone number, and then we're busy getting a new social media sorted out, and we're trying to be a lot more interactive, and we really want people to get in touch. So, yeah, but inshallah, have an amazing, amazing weekend. Stay safe, buckle up, and from us here at Bumper to Bumper, myself and...
Ziad, and yes, have a safe week, because we'll only speak to them next week again.
Yes, true. So have a safe week until next week, inshallah.
Inshallah.
And stay safe, buckle up, and assalamu alaikum from us.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
CII. See the whole picture.